And they drove here, and there was some question as to where they were going to set up. A lot of people didn't want their tent here, and they didn't want it there, and they didn't want it there. So they ended up pulling up right up front. Two guys from Florida who were engineers had been deep frying chicken for a couple of days, and they had run out, and they were headed back to Florida. And they says, well, we're going to move our bus. You can just park right here in front, which it was right there in front. And so they moved their bus, and Felipe and Richard and David moved their bus in and started getting their burners and skillets and griddles out and started cooking immediately and set their tent up. And Felipe did say, there's another bus that's following us. There'll be a day or so later, but we don't know how to get in touch with them because the grid was down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was no phone grid, no anything. And he said, we don't know how to get in touch with him, and he won't be here until tomorrow night, which would be Sunday night the 11th or Monday the 12th. But, you know, he's got a refrigerator in the back of his truck, and he's bringing produce and food, and he's a good cook, and he's connected to the same cooperative. And that was Clovis Seaman. And so I said, well, you know, I don't know. We'll just pray that he finds his way here. Well, the two guys from Florida packed up and left Sunday night late.
Uh-huh.
And so we said bye, and they were great guys, and they headed out. Went out to the interstate and turned east on the interstate to go back to Florida. And after a while, they came up on the interstate. Now, you got to realize it's like midnight. Clovis could tell you exactly what time it was or about his memory, but they're driving down the interstate, and of course, we've told them that there's another bus coming from Wisconsin, from Organic Valley, and they're driving down the interstate, and they come up on this bus, and it says Organic Valley. And they're about, I think they're 30 or 40 miles east of this exit up here.
Wow.
So it was Clovis, but he had missed the exit. Of course, he didn't know where to go. So they started honking their horn and flashing their lights, and Clovis didn't want to pull over at first, and so they just stuck with him on the interstate, and finally he pulled over, and they got out of the bus, and they said, you missed your exit. You should go back to this exit at Highway 90 and go to Waveland. And Clovis said, how do you know who we are? And he says, well, we know who you are. And Clovis says, well, how do you know where we're supposed to go? And he says, well, we know where you're supposed to go. We just left there. And Clovis said, how do you know all this? And he says, because we just left the spot where Felipe and David and Richard are, and they're waiting for you, but they didn't know how to get in touch with you because all the phone grids are down. And Clovis says, yeah, I'm looking for them. And they said, well, go back 20 miles to that exit and go south. And they drew him a map, and he drove straight here.
Wow.
From that, and it was just a midnight interstate passing that caught him, and he didn't have any trouble getting here. And by the next day, we were set up feeding over 1,000, and I think that Tuesday night we fed over 3,000.
Wow.
So that Tuesday day, lunch and supper and dinner, so that's kind of how it got started, it was just a. You know, if I hadn't gone to that church, if I hadn't met Kevin, if I hadn't, there's a lot of ifs that could have happened. There was just a chain of about a dozen events that got me to that parking lot that were really unusual and strange. And that's the only parking lot on their whole drive down here that they pulled off the interstate and pulled into. And they just saw the church, exited, pulled into the parking lot and said, okay, what do we do now? And the pastor came out and said, can I help you? And they said, yeah, we're looking for a place to feed people and set up a food kitchen. And he says, hold on just a minute, Jimmy, turn around, come back. And that was it, you know. So that's how that happened. And I kind of get goosebumps every time I tell the story and think about it. But from that point on, you know, it's just kind of grown and evolved and been a beautiful, wonderful thing, because you've got so many different people, such a diverse background. Everybody that comes here is coming here with a really good, compassionate, giving, serving heart, and everybody's willing to work together, and we kind of, you know, put differences aside. Differences don't mean anything here. Different backgrounds, different culture, different religious beliefs, different economic backgrounds doesn't make any difference. We all came here together to help these people and put supplies in their hands so they can work on their house and clean their house and a tent to sleep in and canned goods and hot food, and it's been pretty amazing from that first pickup truck that pulled up with those four guys from Bastrop, Texas, to what it's become for the last 80 days now. So, and it probably should be here longer, but you know, whoever the powers that be have determined that we should be out by December 1st. So I think we're working out some transition, possibly some kitchens and certainly some distribution places here in the county, maybe, hopefully, that the people can still go to. Mm-hmm. But there are still people sleeping in tents, and there are still people who are cold and have no electricity and no water.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been placed in FEMA trailers. That sounds good. They get them for 18 months, and then they have to make a decision about buying them, or they're not their trailers. They're just on loan. And I've visited some of the trailer parks, and you know, the trailers are small, and they're about 15 or 20 feet apart, and everyone has their own sewer tank, and it's above ground, and they get pumped out. A truck comes through and pumps them out every day. So, you know, it's not a good
way to
If you get a chance, you ought to go visit one. And I could take you to one tomorrow that I visited.
Seven.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to do that.
Anyway, it's not a, there's no quick solution to any of the problems. I talked to a field agent who specializes in economic diagnosis and recovery for FEMA, and she said that before Katrina there were 1,650 businesses in this county, and they now know that less than 400 will ever come back. That's 75% of your businesses and employee base that will never come back to this county. So even in best case scenario, there's probably only 15 businesses open in the county now. Even at best case scenario, only 20 to 25% ever reopen again. So it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Now, tell me how people can help.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, people have been helping. I mean, the trucks that have come in, the supplies, the food, the clothes, the blankets, the tents have come in from all over America. It's really amazing. I mean, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Kentucky, I mean, every state, from Oregon, California. We had a guy drove up here one night with a big rental truck, and he had driven all the way from Los Angeles. Turns out he was raised here in Waveland, and he started a fundraiser at a radio station in a town in California, and he drove all the way back and walked across the street, and the police all whooped it up when they saw him because they all knew him and everything, and he grew up here. And so the response has been really good from all over America. And you know, so as far as what can they do, they've been doing what they should do, you know, and either volunteering or sending supplies and goods. And I think America has responded really well. The problem is, this is a long-term problem. It's not a, you know, FEMA's plans, they have disaster quick response relief plans. They have a 30-day plan and a 60-day plan. They don't have a 90 or 180-day plan or a year plan. They expect to do what they do within 60 days for the most part. And so they're used to, you know, moving in and getting things done and kind of getting out, you know. And I think this town is probably going to have needs, special needs, and funds and support from all over, and from federal agencies, state agencies, and from American citizens for 5 years or longer. You know, you've probably been down there and seen the devastation, I don't know what they do once the FEMA trailers are up. You know, what do they do then? Where do they go for jobs? They're not going to be able to get the jobs here in this county. They're going to have to go other places. Well, do they commute? I think most of them don't commute. You know, and you can only move your trailer once. So where they're set up now, if they leave, they can't take their trailer with them. They're not allowed to. That's a FEMA regulation. You move the trailer, you know, you set it up, and that's it. So.
Wow.
There's a lot of kind of catch-22 situations for the recovery here, and you know, the county's tax base is gone, so there's serious problems with the county tax base.